What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
All right, dope, Ryan. I appreciate being here. For those of you just tuning in, this is a totally organic, 100% authentic how shit goes down in the entrepreneurial world. I saw a little bit of what Ryan was doing. I had seen some of his videos, and he's an educator and a sales guy and an AD motherfucker by nature on LinkedIn. And then how did you reach out to me originally, or how did you come across what I was doing?
I've been intrigued with people that are doing well with podcasts. And so I went through the top 100 most listened to business podcasts and started doing some research on them. And then I saw that you were in San Diego. And I was like, this guy's in San Diego. He's young. He's hustling. He's doing some stuff on Amazon. I got to get in touch.
Dope. So Ryan and I connected after he just went on his baby moon. Is that a thing?
If we spin this around, you can see the crib. That's supposed to have been built already, but I'm much better at business than doing stuff around the house.
I'm way better at building businesses than things with my hands. I can relate 1,000%. Dude, and you're in Encinitas, so you're super close to me, huh?
Yeah, just down by Moonlight.
Oh my God, yeah. So we overlook the racetrack in Solana Beach. That's where our office is. It's like Fletcher Cove, Dog Beach, out one window, and then the racetrack out of the other one. So we're above like Denny's, Mobile, AMPM, all that stuff. So we're literally like 8 minutes south of you.
Yeah, I know right where that I used to, I guess it was an internship that turned into a job was down in Solana Beach. So, and I grew up in Carmel Valley.
No shit. Did you go to Torrey Pines?
I did.
What year did you graduate?
I graduated 2003.
2003. Okay. So you're a year older than me. I graduated in 04. I went to SDJA though.
Oh, nice one, man. Where all the smart kids go.
Yeah. All my homies were Torrey Pinesers though. I used to wrestle with your wrestling team because all of my guys sucked too bad.
I love it.
So let's back up a couple of steps. So we connected and he was telling me like a really dope story. And I'm like, hey, you want to hop on a podcast? So we're touching base, just kind of see what each other are up to. Cause Ryan is a big time Amazon seller. And I'm like, wait, my audience might like to hear this. So we took a second, he put the babies down, bribed them with an iPad, and now we're recording. So we're just going to literally continue the discussion and see where we have some fits and what we can do together. But I wanted you guys to be able to get the benefit of any value bombs that drop. So Ryan, back up like a couple of paragraphs in the conversation and kind of explain to me again, when I first got on the phone with you, I said, so explain to me your hustle. I've seen some of your content that you're doing. Like, what's your end game? What are you trying to make happen? What have you made happen so far? Give me that little like few paragraph spiel again, and then we can pick up exactly where we left off.
Yeah, man. Well, I love the authenticity of it because like we were talking about earlier, like I don't like planning too much. I'm better at winging it. I'm literally in a closet hiding from my kids so we can wing this conversation. I hope my face doesn't turn like boiling red because there's a heat wave right now and there's no ventilation in here. So if I faint at some point, that'll be the reason. But I wanted to reach out to you. You were obviously selling some nutraceutical products and you were local and you had a badass podcast. So I was like, that checked a bunch of boxes for me. My personal background is in helping brands sell more product on Amazon. We started a business 5 years ago. I was working at a digital agency just as a client manager. And I had a background before that selling products on Amazon to subsidize my lack of income at tech startups. And it literally started with my wife, or it was my fiance at the time, handing me a textbook saying, I'm done with college. You're sort of unemployed right now. Why don't you sell this on Amazon? And so I put it up there. It sold about 15 minutes later. And I was at her parents' house. I looked around. They had books everywhere. I pillaged all those, threw them up on the website.
Love it. Love it.
I went to bed. And I woke up in the morning and like half their book collection had sold. And I was like, this is it. Like I'm in, I'm going to write my ticket here. So I went to a library and I partnered with this little old lady and she would give me all the donations. I'd give her a piece of the action. Well, I give her a lot of the action because it was a library and I just wanted to support them and sort of grew my knowledge about selling on Amazon, you know, haphazardly through that. And that evolved to like me having this like bookshelf full of books that were classified as well as I could do that.
I love that. You started on Amazon by selling books because Amazon started with selling books.
Yeah.
I think Meg Whitman had the market cornered with Beanie Babies on eBay but nobody came close to Bezos with regard to selling books on Amazon, which is what it was meant for. So I feel like it's appropriate that, what year are we talking, by the way? How long ago did you do this?
This would be like 2008. So right out of college.
It causes problems in marriages or in relationships when, like, you know, you sell a book for your wife or for your girlfriend, and then, you know, the family goes to sleep and they wake up and, like, you've sold their entire, like, book collection, their Bible, their, like, you know, their dog's gone, the table's gone. You're like, we sold all of it on Amazon. They're like, well, we're really happy that you found out that you have a knack for something, but we kind of needed some of that shit.
Yeah, I think they were just happy that I was finally doing something that was paying me. I mean, I'm like the serial ADD guy. Like, I'm doing this and it's going to make $1 million, and I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. This, I actually like made, well, now I didn't technically make money because it was her book. But after that, I did string together some books.
You learned the mechanism that now you could pay for it a gazillion times over. That's funny. So I actually just did a post on LinkedIn, which I'm now going to start to build, which, by the way, you better be giving me some fucking endorsements after this podcast on my LinkedIn profile. I've been working on it for like 5 days. Anyway, about how, like, I got my brown belt in judo, and I was like so proud that, like, you know, I had gotten my brown belt at 20, right? And I thought that was the accomplishment. And in retrospect, like, I own a school now here in San Diego in Forest Ranch. It's called Forest BJJ, if you want to scope it. And the accomplishment was not at all the promotion. It wasn't like what I thought the accomplishment was. The accomplishment was like every time I fucking got out of bed at 5 a.m. to go train before going to school. You know what I mean? The accomplishment was like every time I competed, or every time I trained to compete and like didn't miss a day of training 6 days a week for like 4 months going into a tournament. You know what I mean? It wasn't like the medal. It wasn't the belt. It was like everything that went into it. So like, you didn't make shit on that first book, but like, the accomplishment was what it took to be able to sell the book, because that's, those are the skills or the things that you take away from the experience to be able to parlay into whatever the fuck you're doing now. Which reminds me, explain to me what led you to this conversation right now with Advantage and with selling your company. And I love hearing stories of young guys, you know, having an exit, building something and selling the company. And now you're in an interesting like state of flux, having to like, not necessarily redefine what you're doing, but definitely redefine the purpose of why you're doing it. Because, you know, you want to build something to be able to sell it. These are your words, not mine, right? You know, you want to build something to be able to sell it, and then you sell it and you get your payday, and then you're like, okay, well, what now? Right? So walk me through that series of events. Catch me up to speed with like entrepreneurially what happened over the last, like between selling your first few books, partnering with that mogul of a librarian, selling the company, and where you're at now and what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved what you said real quick about the brown belt and the discipline behind it. I'm a big Jocko Willink fan. You know, the discipline equals freedom. Like, for instance, I haven't eaten anything today and I'm still not going to eat anything because I do one meal a day. And I just feel like out of deprivation, you can get so much and you earn it. Right. And I think that with entrepreneurial ventures, like I tried 1,000 things, and what you realize is you keep trying until you get it right. You fall down 7 times, you get up 8. So I got up and started selling on Amazon. We spun up a business around that. I was at an agency at the time, and I said, hey, these brands that we're working with have no idea about Amazon. Let's spin up a model where we can help facilitate that for them. And the model was us actually taking an inventory position and then selling on their behalf through Amazon.
Would you buy and resell the product?
Yep.
Perfect. Good man. I like that so much better than a traditional agency model.
Well, we didn't know that we could actually deliver on some of the assumptions we were making. So we didn't want to take fees because of that. And we thought that it would make us stickier if they didn't have to handle any of the inventory and that sort of thing. And so in that model, we're now a platinum seller for Amazon. So we're in their top tier sellers. And then that ultimately got the attention of a company called Advantage Sales and Marketing. They're the largest CPG broker in the US. And we were wholly acquired by them in July of 2017 to facilitate Amazon strategies for their portfolio. And they are a very large broker for some of the biggest organizations in the CPG space in the world. And now we're sort of top down working with them. So it's very fun.
CPG is consumer buyer goods.
Consumer packed goods. Sorry. Yeah. The acronyms. Yeah. So like if you go to like a grocery store, this is not an accurate quote, but like 90% of those products are owned by like 7 big companies. And those big companies are like their clients.
Understood 100%. And what sort of products were you selling?
A lot of personal care, beauty products, sporting goods, baby. We really stayed away from apparel. I mean, we learned that the hard way. There's a lot of variations that gets a little bit tough. I really personally love grocery items because I'm a sort of a health nut. So I've always gravitated towards natural type products, but we were pretty much open to all things the strategies that you implement on one category, aside from apparel, they're pretty agnostic. They'll apply over to many of the categories.
Amen. No, very, very familiar. How many products are you responsible for selling right now on Amazon?
I bet we're at least, you know, a couple thousand.
Right on. Under how many different storefronts?
We have one storefront, Quiver, and then we actually will manage storefronts on behalf of our brands. So we have another probably like four or five of those spun up. And the benefit of that is it can appear that the brand is selling themselves. And then we're sort of on the background, you know, facilitating it.
Right. So that's what I was asking. If you do the brand registry under the individualized brand, and then it's registered to the Quiver name, or are they separate accounts? That's what I was trying to get, just a feel for your format.
Oh, I love it. Getting into Amazon weeds for the audience. So it depends on what the brand wants, because brand registry is sort of a product that lives on Amazon. It doesn't matter if it's being sold by the brand or by a third party. We usually recommend them signing up for us for it and then granting us access to it, to their portal. So they can give Quiver access. They could give our personal email address access, whatever they want.
Okay, cool. So you said you attracted the attention of Advantage. Did you actually sell Quiver to Advantage?
Yeah, they own it now. So I don't own any of my company anymore, which is a weird headspace to be in.
Right. That is fucking very weird, because it goes from being your baby to like, this is still sort of my baby, but I'm like participating in it, but it's not mine, right? Legally.
Yeah.
You don't own it anymore. So are you still like president? Are you a consultant? Like, what do you do on the day-to-day for it?
Yeah, still there full time, committed more so than ever. What we realized is it's sort of like when your kid grows up and you need to go to college, but you don't really want them to leave the nest. The types of opportunities that Advantage would open us up to would happen so much quicker if we sold to them. And so I'm there day to day. We pretty much run it with one other guy. And then we have a very good leadership team in there as well. So yeah, we're still there, still committed.
How many people do you have in your crew on staff?
About 30.
30. To be a platinum seller with 30 people, that's a pretty lean ship. That's rad.
Yeah, and about probably 10 or 12 of them are warehouse. So it is a very lean staff. We're definitely hiring now, but we didn't want to, you know, it's the type of model where you can grow without, there's a lot of software that can automate things. There's a lot of systems you can put into place so that you don't have to bring in people necessarily. You can bring in good people that can oversee a lot of different things.
Yeah, the implementation of artificial intelligence with like, I'm working to like replace myself and every other human being in my organization right now with bots.
Yes.
And everything from chat bots to like, you know, single use code distribution to all of my pay-per-click. I don't think I've made a single Amazon pay-per-click decision in probably 4 months.
Look at you. That's great, man.
Which is pretty nutty. I mean, I, you know, spent a couple $100,000 fucking it up prior to like getting it right. But like, I was slaving on like, you know, automated targeting over to like, you know, manual targeting and, you know, sifting through the fucking sand to get the golden nuggets that convert and drive my click price down and work my fucking budgets up and like all that stuff. I mean, I think right now my ACoS is around 8%. For those of you that are not Amazon people, that's average cost of goods sold.
For supplement?
Dude, for supplement and for beauty. I sell about 200 beauty products on Amazon as well. Actually, I think I'm looking at it right now. It's 261 in stock rate.
That's fantastic. Especially because you're going to be spending to get them to try it, right? And so you can afford a, you know, not as good of an ACoS.
Bro, when I was doing it myself, if a campaign was 100% ACoS or lower, I would scale it.
Right.
And if I had a shit ton of confidence in the product and in like, you know, the product launch and that it would have a certain amount of like, if I felt like attrition would be low enough and retention would be high enough, if it was below like 150%, meaning like I'm spending 50% more than the sale to acquire that customer. You know, if my ACoS was 150 or below, I would keep scaling the campaign just to be able to like find the keywords, get the first 50 reviews up, et cetera. Like if I'm launching it from scratch. So to be at like an 8% ACoS now, I mean, that shit is just fucking honed in. And we're not, and I'm not talking about like, you know, three or four products. I'm talking about over like just a hair above 500. And, you know, we're spending, I don't know, 30 grand a day on pay-per-click. So to be able to have that piece automated, I mean, that was literally like 80% of my job for like, you know, 19 months.
Well, I love that, man. You're not afraid to roll the sleeves up, figure it out. And I've realized this with, you know, even Quiver, like I can figure things out and then I got to hand it off. And there's certain things that you always hold on to naturally, but there's things that doesn't make sense for you to hold on to. And you got to bring in the team to, you know, sort of take that over.
Well, it's nice to be able to rely on artificial intelligence or like algorithmic decision making, because you don't have to worry about teaching the secret sauce of your business to too many other individuals. Cause
right.
you know, when you have people involved, I mean, who wants to like, I hate non-competes and like extended exclusivity contracts because, you know, by nature, you're like forcing somebody to stay in business with you that if they want to move on and they want to go do something else, who the hell wants to like be like, hey, I'm making you sign this, that you're going to be my boyfriend, yeah, even after you no longer want to be my boyfriend and you want to go fuck other people, but we signed this thing, right? Like it takes the feel good out of it when someone feels stuck in a relationship. So like, not even just the trust aspect, but you know, you teach somebody like the true talent or secret or whatever behind like the intricacies of what you're doing, it creates a complication because you're A, breeding a competitor, and B, making it more challenging or difficult to like have that person not be the most arrogant human being in your organization when they're like talking to fulfillment or they're talking to design or they're talking to whoever, and they're the human being that like is now the talent behind, you know, the millions and millions of dollars that are coming in every month. I've watched it over and over again where I elevate somebody to a talent level above a certain degree too fast, and all of a sudden they're like taking the mindset of, well, if it wasn't for me, Mr. Pick and Packer, you wouldn't have a job, so be appreciative. And I have like less than zero tolerance for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, entitlement, just, you know, earning it. In a startup, obviously you're going to earn things much quicker because things happen much quicker and you're exposed to a lot more, but it doesn't always mean that you have the foundation to fall back on.
Right.
If something breaks.
You know, I've learned through like making a couple million bucks and losing a couple million bucks and making a couple million bucks again is like the tides of power and wealth shift really fucking hard and really fast. You know what I mean? So like when it's time to parlay from one thing to another, you better have those other people to lean on that you had worked with along the way, or it's going to be a lonely fucking ride back down when the market has moved away from you in one capacity or another. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. And I think the other piece too is that, you know, we graduated around the same time into a recession, but it was starting to sort of ramp back out of it. Like we haven't seen a true recession. I haven't worked through a true recession. I worked out of one, but yeah. Not into one. And so that's going to be wild to see. You know, never one to burn bridges, and you never know. Like you said, like I haven't had the roller coaster like you, but I can definitely appreciate that.
So my first business I was starting to tell you about, I started as a senior as an entrepreneurship project at San Diego State in 2008. You know, it was helping homeowners recover money for the cleanup of soot and ash after wildfires, because I figured, okay, we're in like the most like devastated economy since the Great Depression. Everybody is going upside down on their homes, underwater, foreclosures are at an all-time high. People need money. Let me start a business that helps to give people money. And then we developed a couple million bucks in liquidity. So we went over to Las Vegas in 2010. And we just started fucking buying up the whole fucking universe where we were putting offers on everything. Cause you know, my dad said full blown, he's like, I hate that you're learning real estate in a market that you could like, you know, take a shit out of an airplane flying over Las Vegas and anything the fucking turd hits is going to be worth 5x what it was, you know, what you're buying it for. Like it's, you'll never experience anything like this. And you know, you're going to spend every dollar you have. You're going to leverage every single thing you have. You're going to raise as much money as you possibly can from anybody and their mother that will listen to you. And mind you, I was like 24 at the time. So like who the fuck listened to me when it came to like institutional capital or like private investing? I'd never raised money for anything. I'm like, hey, I'm putting in $2 million of my own money. You want to join me on a play to like invest in the most like devastated market in the United States besides for Detroit? You know, now in retrospect, you know, my dad couldn't have been more right on the play and is like, mark my words, you're going to do everything you can to buy as much as possible. And when 2020 comes around, hopefully you've sold by then. But when 2020 comes around, after you did everything you could to buy every single unit you could, you're going to look backwards and be like, fuck, I wish I would have bought more.
More.
Right. You know, so like I started the first business going into a down economy, giving people money. I started the second business in like a completely desolate, deprived buyer's market. Now, it definitely wasn't a fucking seller's market because everything and their mother was like in foreclosure and was a toxic asset. And they had to, you know, release a certain amount of properties per week if they had taken any of the TARP money from the government. And then since we've been booming, you know, I started Rev Labs in 2012, which was consumer goods. And I loved the shit out of selling stuff more than I loved insurance and definitely more than I loved real estate. I'm not sure what the recession is going to look like for us or for like the consumer goods piece. But when everybody has less money to spend, things get much tighter. That being said, you know, I think it's healthy for any industry to have these like flush periods where it clears out the trash, when everyone and their mom is able to like throw together a couple 10 grand or whatever to like launch a product. The quality of seller and the quality of product drops egregiously. I think when things tighten and the barrier to entry increases and the amount of barrier to entry is like more hunkered down, where like it's not as easy to come up in your garage to be like, I'm going to launch a CBD infused toothpaste, you know, and like with very, very little research, you find like a white label company online that may or may not be GMP certified. And, you know, in like 6 weeks, you have like a toothpaste for sale online. I don't know that that is healthy for like marketplace sellers. I think it's going to leave a whole lot more room for like the big swinging dicks to like crush really fucking hard, because generally those are the customer centric brands. There's a certain amount of hacks. There's a certain amount of tricks. There's a shit ton of like game playing. But fundamentally, the customer is always right mindset is what has to fucking happen. You have to be giving value. You have to be having happy people, because the average bear with a fucking cell phone has way too much power over the people that previously, unless you're going to like call the FTC or like charge back on your credit card, you know, 10 years ago, what was your real recourse against a brand that like kind of sort of misrepresented what their product did? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and Amazon too. It's just like you said, anybody can throw something up there. And with that comes a lot of bad claims, a lot of untruthful stuff within the marketplace. You know, over time, Amazon's definitely getting better at sort of cracking down on that. But people are doing that because they just see it as opportunity. Like anybody can do it right now. I agree too, man. It's fun when everything's good, but there's times when it's going to correct. And everybody wants to predict and say they know when it is. Like, who really knows? Like, I heard one guy say on Rogan's podcast, he's like, it's going to happen during Trump's term. I was like, okay. And if it doesn't happen during his first term, it happens during his second term, it's going to get elected. And so it's like, it's easy to speculate, but I think it's just a matter of like, if it happens tomorrow or if it happens in 4 years from now, you know, setting yourself up for success, there's still things that you can do now and then that you can still realize the benefits of. You know, there are benefits of a recession too, if you're set up for it.
Like what? I agree, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think if you do have some money in the bank, so you're not out there just trying to be fancy and keep up with everybody, you're being smart and you're saving some funds for a rainy day. Those are the rainy days and you can capitalize on it.
Yeah, cash is king in a down market for damn sure. Your dollar goes further if you have some of it.
Or if you look at products that trend better during a recession.
What is the economic word for that? It's complementary goods, right? As the economy goes down, the sale of a complementary good goes up.
There you go. Yeah. And so like, I know like alcohol sells really well. You know, this is from what I've read. Alcohol, beauty products still sell really well because people are, you know, going to job interviews and that sort of thing. And so there's things that you can look at right now, which are still good businesses.
Generic versions of higher priced products. That's a really, really strong complementary good.
There you go. Yeah.
How to Survive a Depression book would probably do better in an economic depression than if the economy is booming. It's like, how to survive a down market while the market's been like bull for the past 7 years, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just not overextending yourself. And obviously with being an entrepreneur, you're always going to take risks, but, you know, sort of balancing out those risks with, I guess, a safety net to land on. You don't always have that luxury, but I try to have that luxury when I can.
Yeah. So let me ask you, I'm interested because one thing you've done that I've never done is sell a company to a bigger company. You've had an exit. That means you got your payday. Do you still have a piece or a revenue share in your production of what you like produce for the company at this point or no?
We have an earnout. So we're performance of the company for a couple years. It's a good plan to keep everybody motivated, to keep pushing and to see the thing through. But actual like equity in the company, I don't have any equity anymore.
What does that do for your mentality? And like, what is your purpose in life now? Because I've never been in your position. I've always been like very, very clear on like the next thing I'm building and what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And we had started to touch on, and this is when I like shifted and I'm like, dude, I want to fucking record what you're saying. I'm very interested and I'm liking your insight. So like me personally, I want to know. And then also I think it can be valuable that like very rarely do people think past the long-term goal, right? So if your goal is to like build something, make money, be able to support a certain amount of lifestyle, hit a certain amount of income, once you hit that, I imagine the position is very precarious, right? Because I know I was like, I just want to put this much in the bank. I just want to, you know, I want to buy this car. I want to like own my house, whatever. I want to like be able to whatever my things were that I had written down. Like I'm talking like 8 years ago. And I blew way past those marks and didn't really stop to take the win, didn't really like reset and be like, okay, here's my thing. It was more like how you're saying with drinking, how it's like, it just takes, what were you saying? You're like one shot
to start.
Yeah. And then you take, if you don't drink again for a while and you take one shot, you're cool. But realistically, if you drink and then you take another shot the next day, or you take another shot 3 days later and you keep doing that, it's going to take more and more, a bigger win, more alcohol, more success to be able to get you to the same degree of buzzed. I've had to do a couple of hard inside out looks at myself, being like, okay, my outside world has like accomplished everything that I said, but like inside, I'm not jiving and at peace and whatever. I'm just like, I'm continuing to throttle. So like, you hit a very like distinct point, a crux, right? Like a crossroads where you're like, do we sell? Do we not sell? Okay, we sell. That's a fucking checkpoint, right? Because you get like, you like close escrow, you no longer own the company, you get a fucking payday. And then I imagine the feeling is like, okay, what now? And once your what is determined, like, because some of it is like legally obligated of you, it's like, why am I waking up and hustling and pushing? And like, I know my what is, but I imagine the purpose for doing it shifts a lot. So talking about like kind of what has gone through your head, like what you've had to do to reset. If you have reset, if you're kind of in a weird state of flux where you don't have a purpose, that's a totally fine fucking answer too. But just like share with me where you're at right now in life post sale of your company.
I was thinking so many things that while you were talking, I think it was on Tim Ferriss's show, Schwarzenegger was on there. I think it was Schwarzenegger. And he said like,
never heard of him.
Yeah, you sort of look like him.
Oh, thank you. I'm assuming you're talking about my calves.
All the calves, strong calves game.
Yeah, we both have kind of small calf genetics, but I'll take it. You can't see that, so maybe you are talking about the delts. I'm honored.
That's why I have the screen up here. You can't see my arms.
I know, I'm like leaning in. I'm leaning in like fucking flexing. My arms are on the
table. Get all excited?
So, yeah.
Yeah, Arnold said it was a lot more fun to get the first million than it was the 20th, right? And so it's just, like you said, you sort of check that box. And I didn't know there was a term called deal hangover, but that's a thing where you sort of spend so much time and energy getting through the deal.
You have the adrenaline dump.
You get the adrenaline dump and you sort of like, you know, you're now looking around and you're like in the same house.
I've never heard of that deal hangover. It's how I used to feel after my fights. Like I'd win first place, you know, competing in MMA or judo or jiu-jitsu or whatever. And you'd like, you accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish. And then you kind of like wake up and you're like, what the fuck is my purpose?
Right. Yeah.
It's like a weird disappointing feeling when you get what you wanted. It's, I mean, I assume that's what you're referring to.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of like you're in the house, you're in the same house, but everything looks different. You don't recognize everything for what it was and what the purpose is. And so, you know, I was fortunate enough through the deal, like my goal in life was always to be able to walk to the beach. And then like 5 years ago, I updated it that I had to be able to walk to the beach without shoes on, because that means you're not going to cross any major roads. And blessed enough that through the deal, I was able to do that.
I love that. That's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, and have a place where my family can grow up by the water. That's what I always want. I grew up close to the water, but not on the water.
Mm-hmm. Where in Encinitas are you?
By Moonlight, sort of off Neptune.
I know exactly where that is. So can you walk south to like D Street and like, are you within walking distance of like that little strip?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How close to Encinitas Boulevard is that?
Real close. So, I mean, Encinitas Boulevard basically turns into Moonlight Beach, and we can walk down to Moonlight in about 5 minutes.
I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, with my straggling kids.
How old are your little ones?
6, 3, and we'll be born in August.
I love it.
Yeah, right in the thick of it. And so with that, you sort of come into this business, and now we've been placed on this pedestal. And I always sort of knew that, like, I was writing a story, and the exit of the company would be the period at the end of the book. And then there's going to be a next chapter, and there's going to be a next chapter within this current story, and there's going to be a next chapter beyond this story. And so, you know, I really had to like think through like, what is my purpose, right? We have the resources now to grow this business to where it needs to go. How do I best facilitate that, you know, on a business level and then on a personal level? And I found an old dusty film degree in a past life that I never really used at our company. We never really marketed ourselves. And I saw that as the opportunity to start, you know, just learning how to put content out there that was interesting, that maybe people would pay attention to, and talk about the services there. And I thought that'd be a valuable asset for the business. And then, you know, beyond in 10 years from now, if I'm have a brand that I'm bringing to market, that's a valuable, you know, skill to learn too.
Yeah, it's an ancillary asset and a good way to hone your skill set. That's what prompted me to be like, yeah, let's hop on the phone. I mean, the amount of inflow that I get between like fucking running the four businesses, which is really my main grind day in, day out, is like running my businesses. Anything that I do that's like, you know, Rev Labs Prez on my Instagram, anything that I do for like Inside Out Empowerment, all of that shit is like very, very, very ancillary. It's like not even 10% of the time that I spend. And I really, really like that you're an Amazon seller, because people that claim to be Amazon sellers or like the gurus, like we were talking about how you talk to these like Fortune 500 companies, which is primarily who you work with, right? Is you sell for major, major brands on Amazon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just enterprise level.
Enterprise. Okay. And you know, the fucking guys that you talk to that are like their marketing guys is like the same as like when you talk to your chiropractor and they have like their niece running their fucking social media account, or like, you know, their like wife's first daughter or something who's like 17. So they know how to like post. So there's like no fucking connection to like the brand or what the fuck is going on. I feel like that's how executives are choosing their Amazon people. It's like you go in there and like you log into somebody's back end of their portal or whatever when they grant you access originally off the bat. And it's like, holy fucking blind, deaf, and dumb. Who the hell do you have running your shit? Like their fucking paper clicks all fucking backwards. They have no keywords in their back end, or like, you know, it gives you five lines to put keywords in. And instead of using 250 fucking characters, they have five keywords in there. You know what I mean? Like you look at shit where you're just like, how the fuck is your company worth $500 million? This is ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happens is you get people with a predominantly digital background, and normally like the website, like let's say they go D2C, their website person is often different than their Amazon person. One might be sales, one might be marketing.
That's direct to consumer for the listeners, by the way.
Yep.
It's when the company is not selling as a wholesaler to other businesses, they're selling directly to the person that's using the product. Their website guy is different than their Amazon guy.
Exactly. And they could be, Amazon might be marketing, web might be sales. And so you've got two competing departments that oftentimes don't communicate. And what happens too with a lot of big brands is they just end up selling product direct to Amazon. And that's sort of Amazon on autopilot to some degree, unless you're really getting in the weeds with it. And so you do have that situation where you get into some big companies and you're like, wow, this is pretty backwards. It means there's a lot of opportunity for them, because a lot of smaller guys have looked at their lack of strategy and sort of taken, you know, land away from them. And now it's their turn to come back and try to get it back.
Yeah, man. The second I started eating Muscle Farms lunch in like 2013, and I'm able to like bully these guys that have spends that are like 50x my spend, and I'm able to go in there like a fucking sniper, and I was beating them out and like moving the big dogs at the time to the side. And I'm like, you know, they're nitric oxide booster and they have no angle. They're just like, you know, paying $5 a fucking click on like the craziest shit ever. I'm like, holy shit, there's probably something to this. And now, you know, if you look at like out of the top 20 testosterone boosters, 9 of them are mine under different brands.
I love that so much.
And it appears to be competition, but like you said it, I don't know if you said it while we were recording or on the phone, that like, you know, 90% of whatever is owned by like the top 7 guys. Amazon is like a microcosm of the macrocosm. You know what I mean? Like if you look at the amount that is owned by appearingly or seemingly competitive guys, but it's actually like 2 guys and on the top like 30 fucking 40 spots in each category is very much the case. So the degree or the percentage of people that understand Amazon well is very, 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 very small compared to the people that sell on Amazon. And the piece that I liked about you actually is not just that you understood what you were saying, but that you were producing a lot of content. You were like putting shit out there for very relevant issues. And it's like, I'm reading a forum, I'm reading a blog, because like, you know, I keep my fingers on the pulse of, you know, the heartbeat of Amazon and read everything that they release. And I would like read something. And then like, I logged into my LinkedIn that I've like recently started to put effort into.
Yes.
Go endorse me for some shit, Joshua Nussbaum. Or if anybody has insight on how to grow your LinkedIn, I am at like 2000 followers right now. Mark my words, I will be at like 30X that as soon as I figure this thing out here.
I'm beating you in something. All right. I found it. I'm beating you in that one thing right now.
I love that about you. And dude, but your content on there is like, I'd read the article and then I'd like see your post and I'm like, dude, this guy fucking is talking about what is relevant, and you're also not selling anything, which is pretty dope. I mean, yes, we have Quiver, which is like, you know, you sell for big brands, but like it doesn't spit you into a funnel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's not the goal. Like everyone pretends Amazon's this thing behind the curtain. And if you just look at it and you know what the data points, like you can assess a lot of what's happening and where it's going to go. And I think the more content you put out there and the more I put a piece of content out today and like 3 people collaborated on it, and I learned more because of it. And so, you know, it may seem selfless, but it is selfish to a degree, because I'm trying to learn too by just creating conversations.
And clearly it's fucking working, because here we are having a conversation.
Right.
So what is the next move, either professionally or personally, for you, either with Quiver or with the next stage in the game? Are you building your personal brand as like a key opinion leader? Are you using that to parlay it into something? Do you have a direction that, like, secretively or like just in the back of your mind subconsciously you want to take it? Where are you at?
I mean, I'm really enjoying the content producing piece. Like, I love being in front of the camera. I love talking. I love collaborating with people like you. And so just the more I can do that, the more people I can talk to beyond, you know, it could be Amazon related. It could be e-com related. It could be about selling your company. It could be about having 15 internships through college. It doesn't really matter. There's a lot of connections you can make there. So I'm enjoying that. You know, ultimately where I go with Quiver, I just think that there's a lot of opportunity to still bring products to market with Amazon if they're positioned right, if they have a good strategy behind it. So maybe spinning up one or two of those, but with the right partner, right? So like, I wouldn't get into like supplements unless I was doing it with someone like you, because there's a whole piece from an influencer standpoint that I think you need to bring to the table nowadays. Otherwise, you know, you should just not start a company on Amazon. And then looking at it of like, okay, it begins on Amazon, but then where do we want to go? Because just living on Amazon today isn't the end goal. We've done that. We did in the Genesis. We have like 6 or 7 products on Amazon to this day of our own brands, and they'll sell $2 million a year. We brought products to market, not brands. And today it's all about like what you've done. You brought a brand.
Amen. It does give you a shit ton of assets to be able to like parlay though, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so like, I just like looking at the data. I like to see what's trending. Like I really like to see the grocery category, natural grocery, like watching what's happening in the keto space right now, which I think was completely launched because of podcasts, and now watching products against that and, you know, connecting with influential people, helping them bring products to market to monetize their audience because they spend their entire existence promoting other people's products. You know, the recession hits and you don't have a brand to your name. Like, what are you going to do there? And so, like you said, you go in the back end of some of these companies and it'll be so backwards in there. They'll be running ads. And the challenge is that they're paying their traditional agency to run ads on Amazon, which is a little bit of a different beast. They're spending money to get ads to, you know, maybe a product that's 3 stars and that just isn't optimized. And that's just opportunity. And the opportunity is ripe when you've got levers to pull outside of Amazon. And that's influence, that's innovative ideas. And there's all sorts of stuff. One of the questions for this was, what was one of your biggest regrets as an entrepreneur? It was, in the beginning, we launched products, not brands, but we launched products because we didn't have the balls to get into product categories like weight loss. We just didn't think of it that big. We thought it was going to be way harder. And I have such respect for people like you that can come into it sort of, you know, this product's, you know, quote unquote, later to the game, right? I mean, keto has been around for a bit.
Bro, Amazon. These 3 products that I just sent you are copy and paste versions of each other with different brands, all of which have been launched in the past 4 months. 2 of them are bestsellers. I'm number 13 in carb blocker. I'm number 1 in weight loss supplements, number 1 in thermogenics, number 1 in fat burners, number 3 in sports nutrition overall on Amazon, which is fucking psycho.
Holy cow.
When people tell me don't do blah, 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 because it's too competitive, that's the wrong fucking thing to tell me because I am a fiercely competitive human being. And, you know, people are like, oh, there's other people coming to this space. There's other people moving and shaking. Dude, I don't think you need to do everything. I think you just need to be the fucking best at the things you do do. So somebody wants to come to fucking eat my lunch, God fucking bless you. Try it. You know what I mean?
Amen to that.
I'm right here and I fucking am giving away what the fuck I do. I mean, you should see ads. Some like, when I spoke, I was the only guy in the world talking about marketplace selling and the importance of marketplace selling to a bunch of direct response guys that are, you know, all about getting your PPC down and what your funnel should look like and ROI and conversion rates. And I'm like, it's about building your fucking asset. You know what I mean? It's about being able to like parlay that same fucking list of buyers, taking really good care of them, building loyalty, and being able to parlay them into any other thing that you launch as long as it's quality and you're going to keep fucking taking care of them. And now, literally, I just wanted to show my girlfriend. Like, I had this guy, Ryan, staying with me. Liz was like, hey, I haven't seen you. Actually, she's my fiance now, but I hadn't seen her put a shit ton of love into a product launch in a while because we were launching more and more and more products. And she's like, I want to see if you, she said to me, hey, you haven't hit the keto thing all that hard. I want to see if you still got it. You know, purposefully trying to get my goat. So I launched 4 keto products and all of them are in, you know, top 5 in their category that are literally the same product. Like you can fucking look at the design and like the design is the exact same. It's just a different brand and different company that own them.
I love it, dude. well, dude, you don't need my tips, but keto sweeteners. So like food-based products, like the
sweet. By the way, I can always use tips. My ears and my eyes are way more open than my mouth is, believe it or not.
Love it.
I've been watching all your shit and I fucking love the stuff that you're talking about and think you're very, very, very much on the right path very powerfully.
I appreciate them. And I realize like, you know, ideas are sort of a dime a dozen. Like I come up with them all the time. It's execution. And execution for me came through having partners. I love what you've done here in the supplement space, the food-based stuff. You may be doing foods or maybe not. Like Keto Bark is going bonkers on Amazon right now. And they're not even using FBA right now because the product melts and they haven't set up like Seller Fulfilled Prime, like just 101 stuff. And so there's just, it's so ripe.
Seller Fulfilled Prime is something that a lot of people fuck up because Amazon is very unforgiving if you have that Prime.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not fucking perfect about it. Like you better have a lot of faith in your fucking carrier to be doing that and have a real tight logistics that like anything before 11 a.m. that like goes in to your order queue gets out that day and uploaded that day with your logistics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you do your own fulfillment, by the way?
We do some Seller Fulfilled Prime, but mostly it's through Amazon FBA.
Where's your warehouse?
We have a warehouse in Carlsbad. Well, we have two in Carlsbad. And then we have through parent company, a couple others throughout the country.
Very cool. Yeah, we have a couple throughout the country. Our primary one is here in Sereno Valley. The space is cheaper than Carlsbad.
Sereno?
Mm-hmm.
Our next one, I think we're going to need like 50,000 square feet. So we're going to be going east. The warehouse is going to go east and the office is going to go west. That's my goal.
I like that. Dude, that's so funny because we're like Sereno Valley, like, you know, 10 minutes away from the beach. And in Solana Beach, I could literally like throw a rock from my office and hit the beach. So like office moves west, fulfillment moves east. I like that. I have a very similar structure.
Yeah. Well, it's just culture, like putting your employees in an area where they're happy, where they're fulfilled, where they don't have to go 3 hours to get lunch. Like half of our employees come to Encinitas for lunch, like, you know, a couple days a week. It's like, just, let's just have an office there if we can. So I'm trying to sell that one internally.
Yeah. Well, how big is your headquarters, is your home office?
We're at about 15,000 square feet right now.
Okay. And then how big is your fulfillment center right now?
That includes the fulfillment. So it's about 12,000 of that would be warehouse.
Got it.
It's a pretty small office.
Yeah. We're the same. Cumulatively, we have probably like 8,000 square feet of office space and about 15,000 square feet, maybe less. We have like maybe 7,800 in office space and about 15 of fulfillment. And we're doing 90% of our shit through FBA too.
That's great, man. Yeah, I see a little, is that a French bulldog or a cat in the background?
Oh, that's Bailey. Bailey, come here. This is my girl. This is my girl. Come here, girl. What she lacks in intelligence, she makes up for in heart. She's the antithesis of her daddy.
Hey, cutie.
She's like a horse. She looks in two different directions. Like if you stand right in front of her, that's in her blind spot.
What's up?
That's my Boston Terrier. Her name's Bailey.
Boston Terrier. Okay.
Two Bostons. One's Patron, one's Bailey. And I don't even drink.
You don't drink at all?
I don't. I've been sober 11 months today, actually.
Respect, man. I'm not the biggest drinker either. When you don't eat all day, that sort of helps.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to... Let me just polish this night off with like a nightcap.
Yeah. Honestly, I used to drink a lot. And it was one of the things that when I started to do more speaking, it took a certain level of clarity from me that I just decided that it was time to like level up my game a little bit. I've gotten a long way on like talent and work ethic. And that's compensated for a lot of my like lack of organization, like inability to like stick to meetings, like run a fucking schedule and check my calendar. Like I've been shitty at those things, but I feel like when you're dealing with a lot of other, you know, really high level people and needing to be like game time more often in front of a crowd, like to like deliver the best, doing it with like hungover or lack of sleep, like I've really tightened up. Like I've lost like 35 pounds of muscle in the past, wow, like 3 years, because like, you know, being 240, just like it was very helpful in selling supplements and building my Instagram, but it was also like I didn't feel healthy.
Sure.
I couldn't train in jiu-jitsu. Like I had less than zero fucking cardio. Like I've done a lot to like take care of myself like inside so that like my external results without additional effort are increased. Drinking was a big thing that it's like, dude, I could be like, you know, buzzed and still like by far the most articulate, skilled guy in my circle with the things that I was talking about. So I gave myself a lot of like space and forgive you leeway. Yeah, exactly. To like, not only is it like not affecting me, I'm still the guy fucking running everything and doing a great job at it. And then just got real serious. And I was like, all right, dude, I need to like up my greens. I need to increase the amount that I'm sleeping. I need to like decrease stuff in my life that is not serving me. So I do like once every like few years at the very least, I go through like kind of life edits and life audits where I'm just like, what are the behaviors? Who are the people? Like, you know, what is serving me and what is not serving me? And like, you know, I had a talk with my younger brother and I was like debating doing the alcohol thing. And like, I'm not really like a big like weed smoker or like, you know, I'm not really like a drug guy, but I'm just like, all right, you know, drugs and alcohol, I'm going to cut it for a day and see how I feel in 24 hours. And then I'll make the decision, you know, and then I like cut it for a week and like my skin started to clear up and like
micro goals. I like it.
Mini goals. My last podcast was on mini goals because success is addictive. And you know, by the time I got to like a month, I'm like, holy fucking shit. Like it was hard to like kick the routine of like finishing at the office and like picking up a beer. Or fuck, like starting at noon, which I would sometimes if I had like friends in town or like investors or whatever. Yeah. Like, hey, do you mind if I have a cocktail? I'm like, ah, fuck, it's lunch, whatever. Yeah, let's have a cocktail.
Yeah.
That part was a little bit of like a challenge and annoying to break. But like the amount of clarity and like mental acuity that increased when I had like no substances in my system, I was like, this is for sure a level up thing. So I cut it out of my life.
That's great, man. And it's that discipline.
Yeah.
You know, the discipline you're talking about. And, you know, even if you don't have a cocktail, having just something sparkly still tastes good, right? And so you realize that, you know, the ritual behind just drinking something cold actually makes you feel almost as relaxed as a cocktail, even more so sometimes because you've still got your clarity.
Yeah. But, you know, I preach a lot about being, the name of the book that I was telling you that I wrote and didn't release is called Vision Driven. Literally the crux of the issue or the, like the main point it's driving home is like, running your life based on, you know, manifesting your vision instead of how you're feeling. And like listening to your gut is one thing, but like listening to your mood has like no place in goal setting, no place in accomplishment. It's like, dude, you do what you need to do. You do what, like, it's not like you're doing it because you have to do this because you want the outcome. You get to do it. Not like you have to. It's like you have the privilege of like going and manifesting everything in your life that you want to create. That's a fucking privilege. The fact that you get to post on social media, that you get to create content, that you get to go operate in a free fucking market where the best guy with the best service and the best marketing and the best fulfillment wins. All that shit is a privilege. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get to frame your life in service of the things that you have dictated are important to you. And all dedication is, all tenacity, all consistency is sticking to your goal after the mood that you set that goal in has worn off. And that's where it truly differs. Are you being vision driven, like being led by what you have decided you're committed to creating? Or are you being feeling driven or mood driven or tendency driven? And, you know, alcohol was one of those things that like I would be in the mood to drink, but it wasn't something I felt that was like serving my vision. So it got the fucking boot along with about 35% of my employees and development team and a lot of other stuff that like was just, it was time to like edit because they were existing in my life, habits or people or whatever, because of entering in an old unit of time. And it was time to like level that shit up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%. It's my wife sometimes jokes that I'm a robot because I try to do what's just best for my body, which I think of as more of a machine, although it doesn't look like your machine. So I need to go to your gym programming. But like,
we should live together, dude. Fuck, you can come to Fit. It's like literally like less than 10 minutes south of you. And it's one of the nicest gyms in San Diego.
Yeah. I get to CrossFit. We do 5:30. So I wake up at 4:45 every morning. So I'm not drinking the night before that. And so you sort of set up the habits to keep you accountable. Like, again, I'm a machine. So I just try to put whatever's the healthiest thing into my body. And I try to not care about the taste as much as the health. Through that discipline, you get that competitive advantage. And sometimes that edge is all you need to win. And even if you don't win, you still feel good about what you're doing because you're still accomplishing something.
Understood. So I'm going to switch gears with you for a second. For people that are trying to launch on Amazon or wanting to bring a product to market or wanting to do something that is in the, like the consumer goods space, health, beauty, grocery, food products, baby, et cetera, I agree with you 1,000%. The strategy is highly, highly copy and pasteable. Talk to me about some things that you believe a new seller on Amazon or a seller on Amazon that has kind of tinkered or dabbled but isn't really hitting at full speed should be doing. So like recommend some resources or some mindset or how you think about it or things that they can do to start to, you know, empower their e-commerce sales or their marketplace selling on Amazon.
Yeah. So I got asked a question a couple months ago about, you know, if I wanted to launch a business, how soon could I be, you know, taking $2 to $3 grand a month out of it? I'm like, okay.
Day four.
That's you know, maybe for you, but for them, it's like, you can't think of a business that way. Most businesses aren't going to make money for the first year, maybe 2 years. And so you're going to have to be reinvesting in inventory because you're going to be growing. And so I think asking why you're selling the business is a good place to start. And then once you know why, you can decide
why you're selling the business or starting the business.
Starting a business. Yeah. Like, why, okay. Why do you want to bring a product to market to sell? And once you answer that question, you're like, look, I want to buy a beach house. It's like, okay, you want to buy a beach house. There's certain categories that you're going to make better margins on that have better exit potential. So start narrowing it down to those categories. And to me, unless you're you and you really know Amazon, just copying somebody else isn't going to work if you don't know Amazon. And so when I think of good product opportunities, I think of what crowdfunding's done. So could I convince somebody to give me money for this product beforehand? Because if I can, that's probably a pretty good idea. Or the flip side of it is, if I have the product right now and I gave it to someone that's influential, would they give two craps about it to post about it socially? And if you can check those boxes.
Those are two good barometers. I like that. I like that frame of reference.
Right. And even better, like if you know an influencer that wants to bring a product to market, you could probably crowdfund the hell out of it and then parlay that into Amazon. But anyway, so if you use those two things, those would, to me, would sell very well on Amazon. Now, those are hard to come by, right? You can't just like take a course and come up with a really good innovative product idea, but you can start narrowing it down. And I think that while, you know, everyone wants to think that they do best outside the box, I think when you have walls, you know, to work within, you can then start really knowing the game and in the spaces that you can, you know, you have to play. And so the more you filter down behind what you want to get out of it, and then look at the categories that would support that, and then look at you as a person, the type of business you'd want to start, you can start, you know, sort of creatively problem solving to what that opportunity is. If you want specific resources on it, I mean, just there's so much good content on YouTube. And I'm not saying my content. My content is not really geared to someone who wants to start selling. It's more for bigger brands that are already selling in the marketplace looking for strategy. But if you just Google how to sell on Amazon, there's so much stuff on YouTube. And there's courses out there. And some courses are better than others.
Do you have any that you recommend?
I actually took the Amazing course in its first year. So that was like probably like five years ago.
Is that Scott Volker?
That's not Scott. That's Matt Clark and Jason Katzenbaum. Super nice guys, friends now. They've re-released that course a good handful of times now. I haven't seen the most recent stuff, but I do get emails from them and it seems like the content's still pretty relevant. You know, it's expensive though. And so, you know, if you want to start an Amazon business and you have to pay for a course on top of the inventory that you're going to have to buy, like if that's going to make you limp into the game, it's going to be a tough game for you because now you got to spend on advertising to get it going. You can't just put it up there and hope it sells. But all that info, like you can get so much info on YouTube. There's so much good info. And just watch it for a bit. Like look at it, assess it, you know, and if it seems like too much of a burden, you know, Gary Vee always talks about, look at all the stuff around your house, sell that stuff, get some money, and then use that money.
Go find a fucking book.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, I still think it's a great opportunity, but it goes back to, you know, 5 years ago, you just had to source a product and put it up on Amazon. If you're a little bit better than the next guy, you could sell it. Now you have to, you know, not only be better than them, but you have to spend to get that market. Like, you know, I'm assuming how you're bringing these products to market.
Yeah, no, 100%. So you had a couple of really good gems in there that I want to point out and reiterate. Number one, learn your fucking ass off. Can I ask what you're doing in revenue a month across all your stuff? Can you throw out a random number? What do you have to be doing to be a platinum seller, put it that way?
So to get to platinum, we got that probably 2 years ago. You have to be doing $20 million a year.
Okay.
And so I don't know if I can disclose with the parent code. I'd have to.
No, you don't have to. That's enough of a frame of reference. That's good. I'm like, you don't need to give me like specific revenue numbers, but publicly you're a platinum seller, which as of 2 years ago, you were crossing, what is that, like 1.8 a month? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Note, what did he do? A, he started learning and he still hasn't stopped. Ryan is, you know, producing content and starting conversations with other fucking Amazon gangsters and then learning shit. Also, if you notice, which is a great thing for any personal brand to do, but specifically Amazon related as it applies to this scenario, he's reading the fucking stuff Amazon is putting out. He's talking about press releases. He's looking at the revenue numbers. He's keeping his mind fresh. He's not relying on the tactics of 18 months ago to be successful now. He's staying sharp and he's continuing to learn. Like people that don't know where to fucking start, just fucking start learning and don't ever stop. I spend 30% of my time at least in research, in development, in testing, in fucking reading every single fucking thing, every single thing the platform puts out, like reading seller forums, talking to other high level people. Like if you're doing something that works, if you want to be the quickest guy to go out of fucking business from a successful position, let alone if you're starting from a non-successful position, trying to get successful, you need to become addictive to learning. If you want to be the quickest guy to go out of business, be a Luddite. Be the guys during the Industrial Revolution that refused to like shift over to the assembly line and still wanted to make everything by hand and like go burn down factories and like hold on to the old way of life, because with how fast things are changing, you have constantly got to be learning. I mean, like there's like a Confucius proverb, I think, that says like, he who knows most knows that he knows not.
Yeah.
The smartest fucking guys in the room that are on stage come from the position, like even the self-proclaimed gurus, if they are good, are coming from the position of, I need to learn. I don't know shit. I need to fucking fill my mind with the newest and the best and the highest level thinkers and the most creative, and are constantly like fighting to like obtain new information, to hear other insights, to like join fucking mastermind groups. And I don't fucking plug a course. I don't give a shit. I don't have a mastermind to join. I'm just telling you very, very, very fundamentally, get addicted to the process of improving yourself. Like there's so much shit, like the amazing seller, that is Scott Volker.
Yeah.
Which is why I got the names confused. There's like 10 billion fucking courses. Like I've taken every Amazon course on the motherfucking planet. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell myself, like, if I go through the entire course and I learn one thing, the entire course was worth it.
Yeah.
So I love being in a new position where I don't know shit, because every 5 hours that you spend studying and learning and watching, you level up.
Yeah.
Once you get to a certain fucking level, it's real tough to have like level up opportunities where you can like double and triple and quadruple your fucking knowledge in one session. When you're new and you're virginal, you can like go 10x every time you fucking sit down for a 5 hour session.
Right.
Number one, learn your fucking ass off. Take the fucking courses, listen to the smart people, reach out and ask questions, like join Facebook groups, like do exactly what the fuck Ryan did and reach out to people that catch your interest for any reason in any category, not on Amazon, but in life, that you want to be good at, and start emulating or like befriending them as like a contemporary or a brother in arms that is fighting the fight. Because even the best of us come from a standpoint that we don't know what the fuck we're doing, and are the first people to hear and to listen to a good idea. And then the second piece that I wanted to parlay is bullet number two. You can't stop at learning. Go fucking do. I tried the new Instagram feature where it's like asking a question. You can like respond to the answers publicly. And some guy said, hey, what advice do you have for a starting entrepreneur? And my advice was, learn your ass off. There's so much free content out there. You need to get addicted to like podcasts and YouTube. Like learn Shopify there. I learned Amazon there. I learned setting up funnels and pay-per-click. I learned affiliate marketing and affiliate traffic. I learned a lot of the stuff that I was doing very, very early on with influencer marketing prior to influencer marketing being a popular mainstream thing, right? Like you can learn fucking anything. Start learning your ass off and then go do it. So go learn a lot. And then as soon as you learn anything, have a mechanism or a funnel or a system that you are building or something that you can then go plug that like intellectual, conceptual perspective, technique, whatever you're learning, and go actually implement it in real life and see, does it work? Does it not work? Am I able to execute? Do I not understand something enough? Because if you're all you're doing is learning, 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 and you're not doing, it's really tough to make the lesson not be intellectual, but like impress itself on your psyche. Like I can look at something in 2 fucking seconds and know if it's a dog or if it's a winner.
Right.
I can look at it from a listing and look at it from the back end, from the analytics. I can look at it from a pay-per-click campaign and I can say, your bid's too high. You don't have enough fucking keywords. Like, you know, you're not running an automatic targeting campaign. You're not fishing for new stuff or for new angles, or, you know, the boards that you're bidding on aren't showing up enough in your listing. I mean, I can tell all of this stuff in a split second by looking at a campaign before even fucking going into a deep dive, not even using a software. And there's like spy tools and a bunch of other shit out there that's available to you. So this guy that I'm speaking to right now, I'm elaborating on the things that he said that are very pervasive themes that I'm saying very regularly, which is learn your fucking ass off and then go do your ass off. Sounds like college.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I get anxious if I'm not listening to a podcast while I'm doing something passive, because I should be learning. And even if I'm listening to a podcast that doesn't teach me something, I have no tolerance for that. And I'll turn it off and I'll start listening to something else. For me, like, I'm not a quick learner. Like, I learn through audio really well. I learn visually. But like, if someone's in front of me educating me on something, like, it takes me like 3 or 4 takes at it. If I'm reading it, it takes me 10 takes
same.
At it before I absorb
dude,
it.
Same. And, I'm the same breed, dude. I'm a terrible reader.
Like, learn the way that you learn and then go start learning in that fashion. And then with what happened with Amazon is, here's all these courses out there teaching people how to sell products. I looked at it and said, this is going to be an issue for brands. So I'm going to take all that knowledge and I'm going to apply it to big brands. And so I learned enough to know where the white space was. And then I executed on it. Right. And so it's, you're spot on where it's like, you have these like serial learners where they just learn, they go from like trade show to trade show to trade show, you know, motivational book to motivational book to motivational book, but there's no execution. There's no point. You should just be watching like soap operas all day if you're not going to execute on any of it.
Touche. So do you offer services for Amazon sellers or do you not offer services? I mean, obviously you have Quipper for big brands. Do you do anything for like the average bear startup entrepreneur guy in the form of like a course or consulting or services like as an agency, or do you JV with people to sell on Amazon? I mean,
I don't have any JVs out there to sell on Amazon. Would definitely be open to that type of thing, but it's got to be the right opportunity, the right team, because don't have a whole lot of time to execute on those types of things. But if I did believe in like the founder who's getting after it, we do have a service arm to what we do. We don't have to take an inventory position. We've evolved that model. But in order for us to work with sort of an up and coming idea, we've got to really believe in it. So there's got to be like a good team behind it. They've got to have some, you know, capabilities there, like really like innovate. Like, so the criteria that I mentioned earlier, like, is it crowdfundable? Is it influenceable? Like, all those things will allow us to find success for that product on Amazon, along with the business just being successful. If it's a smaller scale product, there's a ton of other agencies out there that we're buddies with that we can sort of refer them out to if it doesn't, you know, match our like ideal client profile.
So if somebody is doing stuff on Amazon, wants to reach out to you, are you open for discussions or Q&A?
Yeah. Again, like everyone's got different vantage points, and it could be someone coming at it fresh who's looking at it like, why isn't it this way? And you know, it could be hiding in plain sight, some opportunity. And so I'm always happy to chat with people, point them in the right direction, include them in like a Facebook group or something like that, where we just have people talking about stuff. And so open to all that.
Dope. All right. So let me ask you something. You do CrossFit and you're a vegan, and I feel like CrossFitters only talk about CrossFit and vegans only talk about being vegan. So which one do you go to first in a fucking conversation? Do you pitch CrossFit or veganism first?
I pitch Amazon.
My boy. And that's why you and I are fucking talking. If we had led with veganism or CrossFit, we probably would not be having this conversation right now.
Exactly.
Really quick, I want to hear, what is an actionable item or an actionable step that somebody can take to live a more empowered life? E-commerce wise, internally, mentality, selling their company. I want to hear a gem.
So my tip, if you want to learn more about selling stuff on Amazon, you're interested in it, just Google, you know, how to sell things on Amazon. There's so much content out there. If you're looking to grow and sell your company, the only reason why I had sort of the vision for that is I aligned with a partner that understood that, he had done it before. So don't be afraid to give up some of your business to bring in the expertise that you may need to drive it to the next level. Because I always joke with him, I would be just a private label seller, probably selling stuff underneath the stairs, if I hadn't aligned with somebody who had already had an agency and could inflow clients. Look at where you are in your life and giving up, you know, I'd rather have a piece of a big pie rather than all of the small pie, and know why you're doing it. Like, my why was like, I want to get a win when I'm young. That was it. And so Quiver was the quickest means to that. And you're going to have to give up stuff for that. And we could have held out longer and made more money, but I wanted to win when I was young. And so now we're on to the next one. I'm having cool conversations like this. And so just understand why you're doing it, I think is sort of the key to that.
Beautiful. And if somebody wants to connect with you, wants to talk about Amazon, wants to talk about selling their company, just thinks you're handsome or intelligent or whatever.
Sweaty.
Yeah, sweaty, hiding out in a closet, doing whatever the fuck it takes. There's fucking a note to be taken there. Hey, you want a hot, we have a fucking phone call. You know, he's like fresh off his like baby moon, hops on the phone. The conversation's going dope. I'm like, yo, you want to record the rest of this conversation? Because I'm kind of liking what we're getting. And he's like, yeah. And by the way, this is after he took the initiative to like reach out to me in the first place. Don't listen to what he's saying as much as you're watching what he's doing, because he's going through many, many, many of the motions that are super recognizable regardless of the field to generate success. So tip of the hat to you. I want to acknowledge you for all of the ways you're showing up in the world and the things that you're doing, as much as the things that you're saying. Congratulations, Mazel Tov, motherfucker, on the sale of your company. And you and I should have another conversation about tips, tricks, hacks, ways that I can support you in growing your personal brand. Because I think what you're doing is nothing but straight value and entertainment. And especially being a guy with a film background, I think like the fucking world is your oyster in growing that piece of what you're doing.
I appreciate that, man. Wow.
Yeah, I'm a value guy. I like to fucking...
I love it.
Go read the last post. I'm literally on Instagram on RevLabs Prez. The last fucking quote I said is learn to create an impact before you expect an income.
100%.
And it's about fucking improving anything you touch.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that shit boomerangs. I've said it a fucking billion times on the show, in my posts, whatever, that like, dude, you get in the habit of just fucking delivering improvement to people and systems and environments and businesses and whatever. And it is literally impossible for that shit to not come back to you over and over and over and over again. So tell people how they get in touch with you, my dude. You have a platform that's going to get a couple hundred thousand listens. So make sure you spell your shit right.
All right. Yeah. Just Ryan Mulvaney, RyanMulvaney.com is my website. And then I'm also on LinkedIn. That'd probably be the easiest one. Just search for my name, Ryan Mulvaney, on the LinkedIn and connect. I'm not the best at messages, so give me like a couple days to get back to you, but I will get back to you, I promise.
Beautiful. And what is your, do you have an Instagram handle?
Ryan.Mulvaney.
Cool. If it's not your platform, it's not your platform. I wouldn't sweat it. Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do have a YouTube channel. And if you just search for Ryan Mulvaney, or if you go to my LinkedIn, so I do 5 videos a week on YouTube that I then post on LinkedIn, all about what's happening, what's changing on Amazon, what's trending. So if you want to stay up to date, it all sort of connects back to the YouTube channel.
And you know what? We recorded all of this. So you should have a nice little content piece here to like break up into a couple of different sections.
There we go. Yeah. This is Ryan progressively getting more sweaty. I'll let you get to your meeting, man. I appreciate the time. This was awesome.
Absolutely, my dude. Thank you so much for being on. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you, buddy.
Later, dog.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now. Just watch me now.